And how about we pray together? Heavenly Father, we look to you as your children this morning. We ask that you would speak to us. Grab our hearts. I know that there are a multitude of thoughts buzzing around this room, a lot of anxieties, a lot of thoughts about the upcoming week and things that will be happening, a lot of thoughts about things that will be happening today, a lot of concerns about what's going on in our culture, things that are going on halfway around the world, people in distress. All of this, or all of these things, are underneath your lordship and your sovereignty, and your people look to you. We ask, God, that you would comfort our hearts. We ask, God, that you would comfort those who are afraid, concerned, fear for their lives. People in our own country who are afraid about the way things are going. Lord, minister in a mighty way in our midst. We know, Lord, that you are bringing your kingdom in ways that our eyes cannot see. We trust in you. Teach us about that this morning as we look to your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reading from verse 26 to verse 34 in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus, he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, 'With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade.' With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything." So what I want to challenge you with this morning is that God is at work in spite of what we can see with our eyes. He often surprises us. And a lot of good stories use a literary device called irony. Irony. And you're probably pretty familiar with it. A definition that I found online says that irony is a state of affairs or an event that seems deliberately contrary to what one expects. So it's got a twist to it. It's what irony is. You know, you're expecting this particular thing to happen and then surprise, surprise, something else, maybe something funny, maybe something not so funny, happens instead. And if you're familiar with the story of Romeo and Juliet, if you know how those two lovers die at the end, then you're familiar with what irony is, because it's not what you had expected. Here's a bit more on irony from one of the great philosophers from my teenage years, Alanis Morissette. Some of you might not have any idea what the person I just mentioned, but some of you certainly do. She had a song, as you all know, called Ironic. This is what she says. "An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just didn't take. And who would have thought? It figures." What she was writing about is just the strange twists in life, things that happen that you do not expect. You are surprised so often, maybe in a bad way. I think that's what she is talking about there in her song. But irony is woven into the fabric of our lives. God seems to love irony. He seems to love doing what we don't expect. He loves twists in the story. He is the master story writer, and he puts irony, it's littered throughout the pages of Scripture, but it's also happening right now in our midst. Because our God, he can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants to do. And our expectation so often is that God, because he's able to do whatever he wants to do, would show up with great power and shock the socks off of those who are watching. That's what we want. We want him to have great power encounters in us. We want to see great power encounters through us. But that generally is not his way. God delights in hiding himself and working through ordinary means. So you and I, we want power in the present. That's what we want. Show up powerfully, God. But our God is into patience, and he is into time spent waiting. Not exactly what we would expect from our God. And all his ways are worth thinking on, and they're quite beautiful when you catch on to the patterns that you see around you. But that does not mean that you are going to know what's coming next. You never seem to know what's coming next, even though when we see the God of Scripture, maybe we should. Jesus teaches us and about God's ways here in these last two parables. We've been studying parables now for a few Sundays. This is the last two of five. In Mark chapter 4. And last week we saw how lamps and measuring cups were used to illustrate Jesus' point. A few weeks before that, we were talking about the parable of the soils and the sower. So we were into agriculture that week. And this week we are back to the outdoorsy theme of seeds and gardening and growth. Jesus loves to talk about just the average, normal things that people saw in his society. And so in the parable of the sower, the main focus was on man's response, how man responds to the seed of God's word that is thrown onto him. We want to be good soil that hears the word and obeys it. We don't want to be hard ground, rocky ground, thorny ground. And here Jesus comes back to that agricultural language, but here he is turning the focus onto God's way. So not so much about our response or what we do with God's word, but what God is doing in spite of what we're doing. That God is in control of the field growing. He's out there doing something always, even though our eyes may not be able to see it. He is sovereignly at work, building his kingdom, despite what it might look like to the human eye. And I believe that Jesus, his intention in telling us these particular parables and the right focus that we should have today is to build our confidence in God, to build our confidence in him, his ways, how he works in this world, his power, and his timing. God has a perfect timing for everything. We can trust him. We can trust him. We want to see things with our eyeballs. We want to see things out in the world that God is doing. But so often they're hidden from us. But God is telling us to see with our spiritual eyes in his word, to know exactly that he is doing what he says he is doing. And he's telling us here that he is building his kingdom. It's coming. He's building it. It's right in our midst. And so what principles can we see here that teach us about how God is working in his world? And the first thing that I think that we can see here from these parables is that God delights in humble or small beginnings. God delights in humble or small beginnings. You might even say this is God's preferred way of working in his world. He has the ability to engage the world like a hurricane. He could. But is that what he often does? It doesn't seem so. God instead chooses to engage his world like a gentle rain. What he does starts off so small it is barely noticeable. You can hardly sense it. You can hardly see it. You can hardly feel it. But this is the way that he does things. Think about how God chose to start a nation. When he started the story of salvation, he began with one man whose name was Abram. There was nothing remarkable about Abram. He was just one pagan idolater out of many who lived in the land of Ur. And God called this one man to leave his home and go west to a land he did not know where he was going. God would tell him when he got there. And so started, with Abram's obedience and his faith, the story of salvation. And he wandered about for a long time in tents. He never had a home really to call his own. That land was never actually his own, though God had promised it to him. And after Abram's story, and then after Isaac's, and then Jacob's, all of God's people end up in Egypt. 70-something people, very small. And they stayed there for hundreds of years, hidden away, until God would call them out and save them and bring them home. Not exactly power right there calling Abram and those 70 people away. But there starts the story of salvation. I think maybe even a better example of how God starts in small or humble beginnings is the story of our Savior Jesus, how he came into the world, the Christmas story, what we call the incarnation. I think this is the most amazing thing that has ever happened in the world. It's tremendous. The God who made everything, who had always been spirit before, stepped into his physical world. He took on a body. I mean, I think that because we go Christmas in and Christmas out, we recount the story again and again, I think we lose something of the awe of what takes place there. God becomes part of the creation. He takes on flesh. And then how does that story begin to unfold? Where does he enter the world at? The wise men, if you know the story, surely you do. Where do they go looking for Jesus? Where do they go looking for the Savior? Where anybody would expect for the God of the universe to show up, in a mighty and powerful place, in the palace. That's where kings are born, especially this king, the king of all kings. And they arrive and they're told, "We don't know what you're talking about. When you find him, you tell us where he's at." And where do they find him? In a lowly manger. God delights in humble and small beginnings. And Jesus points that out here in both of these parables. He says the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And just so we're all on the same page about what God's kingdom is, because I know that it can kind of be, you know, I'm going to try to boil it down as clearly as I can, and I'm stealing this from somebody else, but God's kingdom means God's people in God's place under God's rule. God's people, whoever they are, the people who have faith in Jesus Christ, who have faith in God's salvation, in God's place. Now, so right now we're talking about the kingdom coming into this world. Where is God's place? What happens every time somebody believes the gospel, God's place is in the human heart, and we're collected together in a place called the church. And I don't mean here in this building on Sunday mornings again. I mean the family of God that are trusting in him. That is God's place. Under God's rule, his authority, his word. We are people who trust in his word and obey it. Wherever that takes place amongst whatever people, that is God's kingdom in this world. So Jesus says here, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And then again, he says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. The kingdom of God has come. It has broken into this world. And yet Jesus does not say that it comes with great force, with trumpets blasting, armies gathering and swarming. That's not what he says. He says it comes like seeds being scattered on the ground. And you know how it is when you scatter seeds on the ground, at least most of you do. When you put them out there, you can't even hardly see them anymore. They're tiny. They seem insignificant, almost as if you have done nothing. And so of all the ways that God could have introduced his kingdom into the fallen world, of all the ways that, you know, if he had consulted me or if he had consulted you on this, you know, we'd have told him all sorts of different ways he could have done this to strike awe and fear into the hearts of people. God, if you're going to bring your kingdom, how about a firebolt from heaven? And while you're doing that, how about some really powerful intro music so that everybody knows something real is happening right now? But what does God do? He says, no. I think my kingdom's going to come in like a man scattering seeds on the ground. What? This is God's wisdom. This is God's ways. If you know anything about business in our world, that you know there are companies who they want to start their business off right. They want to get the ball rolling. They want to make a big splash there at the very beginning, so they can get a notice, to get attention, start a movement of their brand. They have to be seen and heard in a strong way. Not our God. His wisdom and his ways are so often opposite of man's. He thwarts man's wisdom, turns it upside down. His is altogether something different, and he is satisfied. He is satisfied with humble and small beginnings. So that's the way that God starts his kingdom. But what about things after they begin? After it has started, how is God at work? The next principle is that God is growing his kingdom, but it is hard to see. He is growing it, but it might just be in a way that you cannot sense with your eyes. You might not be able to see how he is at work. So he is patiently doing a work that is always on the move. It's always growing, though it is almost imperceptible to the natural eye. I think there are a number of illustrations from everyday life that make this point. If you've got kids, you've got grandkids, you know that they are always growing. Always. But can you observe it? Can you see them growing day by day? Can you watch them just kind of slowly creeping up? No, but how do you know that they are growing? We've had one of those walls in our house before where you mark your child on the wall and you put a date next to it. They come back 6 months later and you put them up against that same wall and you can observe that, in fact, yes, they are growing. I couldn't watch it happen, but it's always happening. Most of you still have some hair on your heads. Can you see your hair growing? Dale says yes. You've got long hair, Dale. No, you can't watch your hair growing. But each of you does expect to go to the barber and get your hair cut again. That is a witness to the fact that your hair is always growing. And the only way that we can watch things in nature grow, it seems to be those time-lapse videos. Have you seen some of those before? You know, some of those that I've seen are like a vine that's out there, you know, next to somebody's house. And you can't watch that vine grow from day to day. But if it is filmed over the course of many hours or many days and you speed that video up, you can watch that vine twisting slowly up into the air. It's always growing. You never would have seen it grow in real time, but there it was all along, right there underneath your nose. Yes, growing. Jesus says this is how God is working to grow his kingdom. He says a man scatters seed on the ground, and then what does he do? He goes to sleep. He goes and takes a nap. Then he wakes up, goes to sleep again, wakes up. He doesn't do anything else, really. It rains on the seed that he's put into the ground. The sun comes up, and it warms the ground. That little seed grows roots down into the earth, and the plant pops up out of the soil. The man who sowed the seed, Jesus says, he doesn't even really know how this happens. He doesn't even understand it. He isn't in control of it. Jesus says the earth produces by itself. Man doesn't make it happen. The seed just does it. And he is at a loss to understand or explain what exactly is happening with the seed. He simply trusts that it is going to grow. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. All that man did was go out there and sow some seed. And in the fall, guess what is there? There is a harvest. How did it get there? It got there by a power that was completely separate from himself. He did not make it happen. Something else did. So it is with the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. It might not look to our eyeballs like much of anything is happening right now in the kingdom of God, but God is at work, and he is bringing it to pass. It is a slow, gradual process that we mortals will rarely be able to see with any kind of clarity, but all along it is happening. The kingdom is growing. God has chosen to start the work of salvation with small beginnings in the hearts of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And then he will continue to grow his field in such a way that human eyes can barely observe it, except in relationship to where it started. Kind of like the kids being measured on the wall. So at any point in time, you might look out there and it's like, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. But 5 years down the road, you look back and you can compare it to where it was. And you say to yourself, how did that come about? Only by the power of God. What do we see in the world right now? Would you say, as you look out there, I mean, honestly, as you look out there and watch all that is taking place in our world, would you say that you see the kingdom growing? And it's clear. It's obvious. Is that what you would say? I have moments where I wonder if another soul could possibly ever come to the Lord. Because we live in a place, that has hard ground. It is thorny, it is rocky, and it is slow, hard work. And there are times when it does seem like nobody could possibly ever believe in that message again. Nobody cares. And then what? And then you meet somebody, and you hear that this person, who only a short time ago cared nothing about the things of God, and now they do. And you think to yourself, oh yes, God is still at work. How does it happen? I'm like that man in Jesus' parable. I know not how. But there it is. The blade coming up out of the ground. And so what do we say? Our God is the one who is doing it. And he will keep on doing it until our Lord Jesus returns. For most of church history, God has shown that he is content to patiently, slowly draw people to Jesus through his word. It's one over here, a couple of them over there, in ways that it doesn't look like anything is taking place until on down the road you see how all those people have gathered together into a place called a church. It's amazing. I think that is a beautiful thing, the way our God works. And here lately, over the last several months, maybe the last couple of years, we have been praying for revival. And what a revival is God doing the things that God has always done, yet only at a rapid pace. So whether it was one over here, two over there, now becomes 10 over here, 30 over there. Where it's like, now my eyes can see it. It is unmistakable. And that's what we pray for. God, bring revival to our community. And we'll continue to pray that. We'll be praying for that tonight when we come together. But more often than not, God is content to call the ones and call the twos. I don't know about you, but I'm impatient. You know, I just want more plants out there in the field. Sometimes churches even settle for having the weeds come in just so that the field looks more full. Don't care what kind of plant it is, just bring the plants all in so we can look out there and see something. I enjoy construction in a lot of ways because when you, at the end of the day, when you've been on a construction site, you can look back over your day's work and actually see what has been done. Very satisfying. But as you know, in ministry, so often that is not the case. You look back over your work, whether it's today or a week or 2 years, and it is very difficult to see what has taken place. So we become impatient. We try to do things our way. We develop methods, and we become very pragmatic, just trying to bring people, drag people into the kingdom so they'll call themselves Christians. That's our doing. But God patiently keeps on doing what he does, and he will separate the plants he put there from the ones that don't belong in the end. God promises that it will take place. And in all of this, he is showing us his wisdom. He's showing us his power. We can barely see anything as we look out there on the field. It looks like nothing is happening. We want it sped up. We want fertilizer to get dumped out there on it. Just do something, Lord. But God does not depend on us to make sure it will happen. He will ensure that his kingdom is built. He does it. He's making that clear here in this teaching from Jesus. Now, he will use us as workers out there in his field. But all we are doing is working faithfully out there for the master. He will bring the increase and he will bring the harvest. And he ensures that what has started off very small will turn out amazingly large in the end. That's what Jesus says here about the sower of the seed who grew a harvest, and also about the mustard seed. He says it's the smallest of the seeds that grow into something that is capable in the end of providing shade and places for birds to build their nests. Think about that picture. A mustard seed was just a speck. Just a speck, a tiny speck in a man's hand. It looked like nothing. But here God is, he's the great farmer, and he is able to take that tiny little speck and make it become a large tree that brings shade and rest for the birds of the air. I can't help but think that you and I, we are those birds. Birds that God has given rest to by the branches of his kingdom. And could anybody see that mustard tree growing? Not at any one particular time. But year by year, the branches just kept on getting bigger and more birds kept coming to find their rest in his shade. I believe all of this should encourage us. Now, we do have a responsibility as people who are working in God's field. But the way that this encourages me is that it takes the pressure, in a sense, off of us and puts it where it always belonged. It's us trusting that God will use us to build his kingdom. It's going to happen. Nothing can stop him. Let me give you three applications from this text, and we'll be done. Three ways that I hope that this will encourage you. Number one, God can use your small, humble service to make a great impact. you never know what God might do with your little faithfulness. Your little, humble faithfulness. Only in the end will you be able to see what all you have said and all you have done accomplished for the kingdom. You might think that you are very small right now, that you don't seem to accomplish anything for His sake, but you cannot judge with your eyes what is taking place. Simply be faithful and trust God for the increase. You know, this thing over here that you think, you know, in the end will really amount to something, it may very well be that in God's irony, that turns out to be very small. But this thing over here that you were doing, that you didn't pay any attention to, you didn't think it would count for nothing, worthless even in your eyes, in the end, maybe it turns out to be very weighty. We don't know. We simply, day in and day out, turn in our faithfulness to God and trust the increase to Him. So, brothers and sisters, no matter who's looking, no matter who's watching, no matter who's patting you on the back, stay faithful. Stay faithful and trust your kingdom work, your service, your parenting, your marriage, your conversations, your friendships. No matter how obscure or no matter how small they seem to you, trust them into the hands of God to do with them as He will. Just be faithful with them. I know some of you right now where you are and in various, you know, in whatever season you're in life, it seems like nothing good is happening through you or nothing significant. I hope this text will encourage you that God is at work in and through you. Just be faithful and trust Him to do what He's going to do through your small and humble offerings. And chances are He will surprise you in the end. Number two, God can use our small church to make a great kingdom impact. I think that we're something of a mustard seed right now. Kaz Church is seemingly unnoticeable. We come together in small numbers. We're out of the watchful eye of those who are important in the world. And when we scatter out there during the week, we're even more insignificant looking. Unnoticeable. Weak and small. But all of that small service to the Lord can make a great impact over a long time. If you know anything about the history of this church, you know that that is true. This church has been in this community for over 100, and we're right at 125 years. And granted, there have been seasons that are high, and there have been seasons that are low, but it would be amazing to see the impact of this one church in South Buffalo in the end. When all is put into the balance, I think we'll be greatly surprised by all that has been accomplished by the people who have been a part of Cazenovia Park Baptist Church over 125 years' time. I look forward to that day. A man had a book titled A Long Obedience. And the full statement from that book was a long obedience in the same direction. That's what ministry is. It is a constant, long, gradual obedience in the same direction. And I think that if that's what we are here at Kaz, we all have the same mission, the same desire to make disciples, to see Jesus glorified in this world. If we keep plugging away, long obedience, same direction, we will have a tremendous impact. A ripple effect in our community. That's what we need to pray for, and that's what we need to trust into the hands of God. And only in the end will we see what the harvest looks like. At any one particular time, you may be disappointed. You may be frustrated. You may be discouraged. But it's a long obedience. in the same direction. And these principles, they don't just apply to the way that God works in the world. They apply also to how God works in you. So this is personal as well. Because God's work in you will be hard to see at times too. Isn't it? God starts humbly, and he patiently, slowly, gradually works change in you at a rate that is very difficult to see, very difficult to measure and quantify. At any particular time, you might look at yourself and then think, there is no growth here. Nothing's happening here in my heart. I always feel so dull. God never does anything with me, through me, in me. Because right now, all I can see are the ways that I am struggling. I am weak. I am not producing any fruit out in the garden. There are weeds everywhere. That's all I can see. I don't see the good stuff growing. I can't see anything happening right now. But if you are a plant in God's field, meaning you truly belong to him, you trust in him, you are faithfully seeking to obey him, turn from unrighteousness. If that is you, you're a plant in God's field. He says, he states here, doesn't matter what you see, he will grow you. He will bring it to pass. The good work that he has begun in you, he will complete at the day of Christ Jesus. It's going to happen. And it is happening right now. There's a quote that I have out here in the hallway. Maybe some of you all have seen it. I love it. Quote on the bulletin board. It's by John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace. Listen to what he says here. I love this quote. He says, a Christian is not of hasty growth like a mushroom, but rather like the oak, the progress of which is hardly perceptible, but in time becomes a deep-rooted tree. Let me put this quote into modern terms that I know that you'll understand. Out here in our side lot, you know, Peter Klotzbach mows. I don't know how many times Peter mows, but he mows a couple times a week at least. And one of those days this week when I saw that Peter had mowed when I'm coming in, dandelions were already out there springing up in the grass. You know how that is, right? Dandelions, you cut them, next day they're back. They are of hasty growth, like the mushroom. And the Christian's desire is to be like the dandelion. We want it all right now. We want my maturity right now. I want to be complete right now. I want to be perfect right now, just like the dandelion, even if that means that I am weak, easily blown about, and easily cut down. I just want it now. Because I'm tired of seeing all the junk in my life. Let's just get it over with. So we want to be of hasty growth like the mushroom or the dandelion. But also in that side lot out there are a few trees that have been planted this spring. What's a tree like? I was told that these trees out here would grow, I don't know, a couple of feet a year. And it would take, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years for them to mature completely. That's the way a tree grows. You can't see it grow overnight. It just grows slowly, inch by inch. Next year, it's a little bit bigger. The year after that, and so forth. And then eventually, some of you all who are young right now, you might have kids here one day that are climbing up into those trees that they're strong enough to sustain your child's weight. God does not grow the Christian like the dandelion. He grows him like the tree. It's slow. It's gradual. It's putting down roots into the earth in the wintertime when that tree looks like it's dead. It is bringing forth new growth in the spring, and inch by inch, season in and season out, it's happening. Do you really want to be like the dandelion? God's wisdom and His ways produces a deep-rooted tree. I want to be like the oak or the maple trees in the side lot where someday kids are climbing on its branches. Don't you? And that only happens slowly over time. He is not going to let us grow up noticeably overnight. But in His wisdom, He will do the long, slow work of growing a tree. And that means those wintertime seasons and also those great times in the spring. They all have their purpose in the plan and the wisdom of our God. It's not necessarily what we want or what we might expect from a God who is capable of doing anything and everything in this world with great power and speed for people to marvel at. But He has chosen long and slow in a way that man struggles to see. It's a bit ironic, don't you think? But we trust in Him and in His promise. We do not trust in our eyes. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm so thankful we have a God that we can trust that we do not see, because He is producing something in that way through faith in Him that it would never be produced if we could see it with our eyes. And the growth and the harvest, they all come in His perfect timing. That's in us and in His kingdom through people like us. And in the end, we look forward to the great time of harvest when our Savior comes for us. Heavenly Father, we trust all of this into Your hands. If we could have it our way, oh, it would be so different. But it would not produce like Your great wisdom does. So we ask, God, that You would continue to work powerfully in ways that our eyes cannot see, growing mighty trees right under our noses, slowly over time. We also pray, God, that You would do extraordinary works of revival in our midst, that You would bring more into Your kingdom in ways that our eyes can see, and we will give You praise, because we know that it is not going to be through our methods. It's not going to be through our programs. It's not going to be through our own wisdom or marketing schemes. It's going to be by the power of Your word. As seed is scattered on soil, and You simply speed up the harvest. We pray for that because we want our community, our nation, our world to be more like Your kingdom now. But if that's not what You choose to do, we'll simply trust in You for the slow, gradual growth. And for all the ways that You will surprise us in the end. And we ask it all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.